listening to The Terrific Teacherpreneur, a podcast for teachers looking to grow a successful online business. Your host, Alex, was able to transform her Teachers Pay Teacher store from a small side hustle into a profitable full-time business. She now helps other teachers do the same. Listen along for actionable tips and helpful wisdom about business and marketing as a teacherpreneur. Here's your host, Alex.
Welcome to the podcast. I have a guest today, Brian, and she's going to be talking to us about a variety of different interesting topics that we haven't talked about on the podcast before. So I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about things like TPT takedowns, you know, the very tricky side of navigating that. Also, what it's like to be an international Canadian seller and how she juggles parenting and part-time and teaching her store and everything like that. So there's lots of really interesting stuff that's going to be happening. I can't wait for you to meet Brian, and let's dive in.
Hey, Brian, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're able to join us. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited. This is actually my first podcast.
Yay, how exciting. Are you nervous?
No, it's okay. I made my family get out of the house. I'm like, this is very important.
Okay, so yeah, the first questions I have for you, I just would love it if we could get to know you so my listeners get to know who you are. So the first question is just tell us a little bit about you. So, you know, you as a person, background in like education, everything. Yeah, that would be perfect. We'd love to hear about you.
Awesome. So my name's Brian and I have my store, my TPT store is called We Madame We. And about me, I've been a teacher this is my 14th year. So I've been teaching for a while, pretty much all in kindergarten French immersion. I teach in Canada. So I started off doing my practicum with a grade 7 class and then hopping right into a contract of kindergarten. So that's where I've been pretty much my whole teaching career. I did a couple of years of grade 1. And now currently I am teaching, I did a little bit of music last year and now I'm doing a support role. So helping kids with special needs and writing their IEPs and that kind of thing. For me, I needed a big change from kindergarten because I have two little kids at home. They're 5 and 7. So I was teaching kindergarten by day and parenting toddlers by night. So my last year of kindergarten, my kids go to my school that I work at. So my daughter, who was in kindergarten at the time, would literally be coming into my class before my class was even out the door. And she hasn't seen me all day. So it was mommy. And I was like, okay, something has to change for a while. I think my heart is still very much in primary, but this is good for me now. I'm working with intermediate kids. So grades 3 to 7.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice though. It's nice to hear that realism and that side of teaching, you know, like it's not always all sunshine and rainbows when you're trying to do parenting and be a teacher, because it feels like, yeah, 24/7, I imagine, you know, children 24/7.
I really admire some of my friends who are doing great with it. They're doing great with having kindergartners at home and like at school as well. And I was like, you know, for me, it was really affecting my mental health. I ended up going on a part-time medical leave that year and then realizing that maybe I needed to like teach part-time. So right now I teach 3 days a week at my kid's school with the option of picking up and subbing. We call it TTOCing, teachers teaching on call in my district. So I have the option to do that on my off days if I want to.
It's actually really good to hear. And I'm going to ask later a little bit about your schedule and how you balance things, but it's okay. Nice to have a guest who has a slightly different situation because you've got the whole part-time thing. I'm really excited to dive into that soon. But my next question I have was just like, I would love to hear your seller story. So tell us about starting your TPT store and everything that went on there. We'd love to hear that.
Cool. So I started my TPT store when I was on my second mat leave. So yeah, it was in early 2019. And I was thinking like, okay, I'm on mat leave. I've been struggling with postpartum depression. I needed something creative to do. I didn't want to go back to the classroom yet. My daughter wasn't quite a year old, but I was like, I need something. And I had a friend who had a TPT store and she was really doing great with it and enjoying it. So I was like, I'm going to try this. So I basically bootstrapped everything together. I watched so many YouTube videos from like how to use PowerPoint to how to. Like I tried to do everything the best way I could in a free way, basically at the start. So I was watching YouTube videos on how to flatten and secure documents, how to use Adobe. And I started with making mainly kindergarten French immersion resources. I started with the basics, things that were sort of easy to make, like alphabet posters, and just kind of getting my feet wet with that. And as I started to continue, I was like, okay, I wanted to niche down. And it kind of became natural for me that I went in a diversity direction, because that was one of my passions in my own class. I was always like teaching about diverse family structures and families with two moms or two dads or different cultures or skin colors. And teachers would ask me like, how are you doing that? Like, are kids too young? And I was like, no, totally. Like, here's how I do it. So I started to create resources about diversity, but I didn't do that until about the beginning of 2021. So it was a really slow, small, tiny store for like 3 years.
Yep. It's really interesting to hear that shift though, because I think people get this idea in their mind that they've got to pick their niche from day one and stick with it for like the next decade. But so many people do grow and evolve and change the types of products they make and the audience they serve. And it's always good to hear the story that people can successfully do that. And I know that I'm making a lot of different stuff than when I started. Like, it's good to hear that it's totally okay to do that.
And I also found that like when I was doing the alphabet things and the numeracy things, like it was nice, but they already existed. I know the French immersion market is smaller, but there were similar products. There was already alphabet posters out there. There was already calendar sets out there. So I was making things like, of course, they like were my own style, but mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily completely unique. And when I started making things about diverse celebrations, I was like, wow, there's really nothing out there in French. Even if I make them in English, like maybe people will buy those too. So it was a way to stand out also.
I think that's important as well. There are some parts of TPT that can be quite saturated. Like for me, I do a lot of stuff in that cater to kind of area. Mm-hmm. And there's you competing with just hundreds of thousands of other products. It's really nice if you can find a niche or an area that's a little bit less oversaturated, I guess. That's really nice. It makes you feel like you've got more of a chance to be seen, which is always really good.
Yeah. And I feel like having changed what I'm doing like to more diversity stuff too, like I said, like instead of just sticking to French, I'm actually getting into an English market before too, which I never even intended to.
Yeah. So just see what you just see what happens. But yeah. But this actually segues well into the question I was going to ask about, you've actually got a membership, and if you could tell us a little bit more about that and the diversity and inclusion stuff and TPT and how to navigate all the takedowns and all the dramas going there. Just like, tell us all of that stuff. It's definitely curious to hear.
It's a tricky world. So my membership is called Diversity from A to Z. Inclusive resources for the primary classroom. So that's been a big learning curve in and of itself, because I have a lot of these resources on TPT, but TPT is a search engine. So in terms of marketing, I'm like, okay, well, I'm the one that has to market this membership. So that's a big difference. That's a new and emotional adventure. Like the night before I opened my cart, I was like, or the first day I was like, I'm crying. What if nobody likes this?
Like, that's completely normal. Yeah, I get that.
I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? I've spent all this time. But then it's also like really rewarding to see that there are so many teachers that are interested and passionate about diversity, and that they're willing to take part in a membership, and that they trust me and believe in my resources. So it's about diverse celebrations. So like, for example, December is about Kwanzaa. So teachers can not only teach about Christmas, if that's what they want to teach about, but also, you know, share that there are students that celebrate other things and represent those students, or even just let their class know that, hey, this is what other people in parts of the world do and what they celebrate.
Yeah.
But the takedowns.
Yeah, I can imagine that having your own course or membership or website makes you feel like you've got a little bit more control, because there's some things you have on TPT where you feel like you're kind of nervous all the time. They do a lot of sweeps. And I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. Has any of that impacted you on TPT? Is that kind of why you have the membership? Like, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
It's not why I have the membership. I had the intention of having the membership in the first place. It kind of coincided, like, it really was about a similar time where I have some Black history resources, and they're, you know, a little kid's book about Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks sat on the bus one day and she wasn't allowed to sit in that area. People were racist and they didn't like her because she had Black skin. And the content of that booklet was not what was flagged. It was the images.
Mm.
So some of the images have smiley faces. Say there's a picture of Rosa on the bench smiling, and TBT felt that it was misrepresenting the situation because she has a smile on her face. If you change that smile or ask the clip artist to change it, then it was fine.
This is tricky to navigate because clip art's not something that we create.
Mm-hmm. And the clip artists, in their defense, are saying, you know, sometimes Rosa Parks was happy. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the tricky part of navigating that. And so some of mine have been taken down, but for the most part, they've all been put back up or been accepted again with those tiny little tweaks. Another interesting one I did not expect to be taken down was my Hanukkah Play-Doh mats. Mm. So just images of Hanukkah. There's the Star of David. There's a dreidel. And, you know, the kids make it into Play-Doh. So it was flagged for trivializing that culture. So what I did then was I just took all those terms and made a glossary so that teachers can use that glossary and the images to teach about what those are explicitly. So the resource contains that information for the teacher. And then TPT got back to me and was like, oh, actually, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's back up. No problem. So I do have to say that I think there are, it seems like with the big sweeps, there maybe are bots. I'm not sure taking things down. However, when you do email, the team is quite responsive in getting back to you and saying this is why it was flagged or actually we realize it's fine, that kind of thing. So there is that. But it is tricky. Like sometimes I'll post a resource and I'm posting some Kwanzaa resources now and I'm thinking like, oh, I hope they don't get flagged. I think it's very important to teach about diverse celebrations and, you know, try to be as respectful as we can.
Yeah, it's really tricky. I'm really glad we're talking about this because this is not something we've never talked about in the podcast before. And I'm sure that there are many sellers who are teaching history and social studies and all these different things as well. And these celebrations feel kind of, you feel frustrated or you feel kind of worried. And it's like, the best thing to do is not to feel like you can't make the resources. I think it's important, like you said, that we are teaching these concepts and stuff, but be willing to acknowledge there might be some bot or something that's going to take it down and it may be a mistake. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can always reach out and get it fixed.
Yeah.
And usually, like, it's not the end of the world. If something gets taken down, it doesn't mean that resource has to be thrown in the bin kind of thing. Like you said, you can do little tweaks.
Exactly.
You can do things to it. So it's not the end of the world. It's just that little bit more awareness we've got to have, maybe a little bit more effort, but we shouldn't be too worried, I don't think, I guess. If it's in the end, we can, like you said, it's for you, it's worked out well. You can just make little tweaks. So it's nice to hear the positive story.
Yeah. And like with the images too, I found that for like one of my booklets, images that don't have smiles or they're just not available on TPT. So I have to make my own decision. Like, am I going to just completely take it off TPT? Am I going to, you know, source images, get them custom made if I need to? Like, I have to think outside of the box more. It's not as easy maybe as just buying some images. And it's tricky too because I'm doing primary resources. So some of those images are a little bit cutesy.
Mm.
And you have to say things in a really simple way if you're telling little kids about things that have happened.
Yeah.
Right? You have to really be confident that you're being age appropriate with what you write and that it matches the image. And I'm kind of getting now how to do that. So
yeah, I think it's all just a learning experience. And like I said, you know, you don't have to delete things. You don't have to get all panicked and stuff. You can make tweaks. But from my point of view, I don't really make a lot of those types of resources anyway. So I've been kind of just sort of steering clear because I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a little bit of thought and consideration has to go into it. So if you're not someone that has those types of resources, you know, like I don't, I just kind of, I have stayed away just because I'm like, well,
yeah.
you know, I don't want to do something wrong kind of thing. So it's up to the person. I think it's up to the seller. You've just got to make the decision about, if it's your niche and you need to make those kind of resources, then you have to just navigate it. But if you're like me, you can sort of step back and
exactly. Like if that wasn't my niche, I'd probably stay away, but I'm already invested in this and I'm passionate about it. So
yeah. So it depends on the situation. But yeah, this has been so mm-hmm. good to talk about. Because like I said, we've never chatted about it on the podcast and I'm sure people listening will be wanting to hear about this for a change. So that's good. Yeah. Could you see I like do a little bit of a gradual shift in questions?
Yeah.
The next one I have is, could you just tell us, like we talked about earlier about you being part-time. So could you tell us a little bit about your schedule and how you juggle everything? So you've got part-time work, you got your store as well. And obviously being a parent, like, tell us a little bit about how you cope, how you struggle, how you survive, how it all goes. We'd love to hear that.
Thank you. When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
Honestly, I'm basically busy a lot of the time, but I'm doing things that I do like. So I teach on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So on those days, I pretty much don't work on TPT because it's hard for me to go in the mindset of like, I'm also in a new position this year teaching as a support teacher. So I'm learning new things. So it's really hard for my brain to do that. Come home, have time with my children, like feed them, bathe them, practice their reading with them. And then at night, I'm so done. I'm like, I'm not pulling out my laptop today. So I try to just do that. And then on Mondays and Thursdays, those are my non-teaching days. So on those days, that's when I get the kids to school. I come home, or actually I try to maybe fit in a workout, go to the gym or something. And then I spend the rest of the day doing work on my business.
Yeah. So you've got a nice little divide between the two separate things.
Yeah. And I find that my Mondays are my most successful days with my business because I'm fresh from the weekend. And I hop right in and I'm doing work and I'm being really productive. And then by Thursday, I'm still productive, but less.
Yeah,
another feeling. I'm getting a bit tired from the week. And also, my husband's really supportive as well. Like he has a really busy work schedule too, but he grocery shops and meal preps for us.
Wow.
So he's great. Shout out to Jeremy. Thanks, babe. And he makes sure that we are fed so I don't have to come home and cook.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's ready. Like, I mean, he cooks mostly for him and I, and then I give the kids, sometimes they eat what we eat, sometimes they don't, but yeah. And then on the weekends, if I can, I get more work on my business done. It's kind of played by ear. Sometimes it's in the middle of the day, I give my kids some screen time. Sometimes it's when they go to bed, but I generally do work on it for at least a couple hours on the weekend.
Yeah. How do you find juggling the parenting and trying to do the TPT or the whatever, like everything else going on? Like, is it a struggle to feel like being present for both? I feel like I've had episodes and guests before, and I've heard that kind of sentiment of like, you feel like if you're with your kids, you feel like you are neglecting the business. But when you're with the business, you feel like you're not with your kids. Like, do you ever feel that struggle? Is it hard basically being a parent?
Basically, I do feel that. I feel that a lot, and I'm not sure how to navigate that really. I just try to deal with it the best I can. Like, my kids do take priority.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. That's how I want it to be. So sometimes, yeah, I feel like if I didn't have kids, my business would be so much further ahead. But obviously, I'm not training my beautiful children. So. But it is hard. And sometimes, you know, it was harder when they were younger. Now I feel okay about, you know, we play a board game together. I help them practice their piano. I help them with their sight words for school. And then I'm like, okay, you guys get to go on the iPad. Right now they call it iPad and gum time. They share the iPad. They each get a piece of gum and I work for an hour.
Sounds like you've got a good balance though, of doing a little bit of everything. So that's really good. Yeah, it's definitely really tricky. It's nice to have guests on the show talking about that because I'm obviously due to be a parent, but not a parent yet as I'm recording this. although when this episode airs, I probably will have a little baby. But yeah, anyway, it's just that it's something that I don't currently understand, but I'm preparing myself for, and it just sounds really tricky. But it's nice to hear that seems like you're doing well with it. So that's really good.
Thank you. I try. Like I said, I don't think there's ever really such thing as balance. It's just we have to prioritize the most important thing for us in that season of life. And so right now I'm able to prioritize a bit more of my business, whereas a couple of years ago I was teaching 4 days a week or full time, and then the business I wasn't able to prioritize as much. So it just fluctuates through the seasons. And then in the summer is different too.
Yeah.
I seem to always think I'm going to get so much work on my business done, and then I realize I have my kids home full time. So
I I like that phrase when people say seasons of life, you know, like certain times of year or certain times of your life where you're just like, well, this is the time where I'm just not going to get much work done and that's fine. But the beautiful thing about TPT is it's so passive that you can take time off and you can have downtime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the last questions I have for you, just it's exciting to have a Canadian on the show. So can you tell us, like, is it different or tricky in any way being an international seller? Because I know some of my listeners like me don't necessarily live in the US. Are there any big differences? Is it ever hard or difficult just being international?
One thing that can be tricky is TPT is so based on the US standards and the US curriculum. So I know on other podcasts and things, they'll say, always make sure you're tagging the standards. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm creating things just specifically for the British Columbian curriculum, because that's the province that I live in. And that's not anywhere. There's nowhere to tag that on TPT. So that can be tricky sometimes. And also different provinces have different curriculums as well. But for the most part, I haven't really found any big roadblocks being a Canadian seller.
Yeah,
just that.
Yeah, I think just the standards. It's the same here in Australia. We have Australian standards. And I think it depends on who your audience is. So if for Australian sellers, if they are really trying to target Australian sellers, then they, you know, focus on our standards. But for me, I tend to target a lot of US buyers. So I just feel like I have to kind of tag the US standards. And then for me, the only other thing is some of the spelling variations, which I don't
know,
but you'd have too much of. But we just have, like, you know, the word color, adding the U or not having the U.
Yes.
That's kind of annoying.
I always use the Canadian spelling. A lot of my buyers are from Ontario.
Okay.
So most of mine are Canadian just because they do, my resources are in French. A tricky thing is probably more of the language piece. Like, okay, do I put my title in English and then add the word French after? Do I put my title in French?
Oh, I don't even know what to say.
There's so many options. So for the most part, I put my title in English. I'll be like, virtual field trip for Christmas, and then I'll have a little French blurb at the end if I can fit it, but that's the tricky part.
I don't envy you that. That's really tricky. And then there's a lot of, like, ESL teachers, people doing lots of English, like second language stuff and all that. I don't know how you navigate that, but my gut would probably say that English probably would be the way to go, and then adding in the other stuff. That sounds tricky. And then I think the only other thing I feel with the international stuff is maybe currency a little bit, just that kind of, and this is more as a seller, like when you're buying things and the conversion rates, and you've got to kind of keep that in mind. It's just, it's not as easy as being in the US, I guess.
Yeah, like for the Canadian teachers, especially when they added that you pay tax on the products. So we're already paying the conversion rate Canadian to US dollars and you pay tax. Like, it's not cheap to buy resources.
Yeah.
So that can be hard, but people still buy things that they need because it saves them time. So it's still okay.
We've had some really good discussions here. It's really nice to talk about some different things that we haven't talked about before on the podcast. Like I said, about takedown stuff, having a Canadian, it's just fun to do some different stuff. So I'm so glad you came on.
Thank you.
The last thing I was just going to ask is, like, where we can connect with you. I want to put some links in the show notes. So if any of my listeners want to, like, connect with you on Instagram or whatever, let us know where we can do that.
Yeah. So I'm We Madame We on Instagram. So spelt the French way, OUI. Madame, MADAME. And then my last name is WEE. So it's We Madame We on Instagram. Same thing on Facebook. And I do have a Facebook group that I'd love for any of your listeners to come join in. It's called Primary Teachers for Diversity and Inclusion.
Perfect. Yeah, definitely. We'll put all the links in the show notes to that. But I'm liking your store name and your usernames because it's like a little punny kind of wee.
I love a pun.
Yeah, I like that. It's always fun when store names and stuff have that little, like, kind of quirkiness to them. So I really like that. But yes, thank you again for joining us. It's been so nice chatting to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast episode. Definitely check out the show notes and be sure to connect with Brian on Instagram and other places. And also, I will put a link to the Terrific Teacherpreneur Facebook group in the show notes too, because if you have a question about TPT takedowns and all those kind of topics, I would recommend posting in the group versus maybe just messaging or emailing me, because it's not something I've had much experience with. I don't really make a lot of resources that are in a situation where they could get taken down or anything like that. So it's not something that is really my area of knowledge. But in the Facebook group, if you post about it and you say, oh, this is happening to me, or this happened, what should I do? You might be able to hear from some people who are currently going through it or have been through it before, They might be able to tell you what about your resource needs to be tweaked or what's happened or what your next steps are and how you can combat the situation. So yeah, definitely be sure to post in the Facebook group if you have any takedown specific questions. But I hope this episode has been helpful in some way. I hope you've enjoyed it. Have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Terrific Teacherpreneur. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Come back for more actionable tips and helpful wisdom in the next episode with your host, Alex. Until then.